Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For you are the kingdom. Yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen.
Well, it's so good to be with you guys this morning, even from a little bit of distance. As Brad said, we had these great shirts made that says the church has left the building. And obviously that's a little bit of a joke, but it actually is true as well, that we are the best version of the church, not while we are here, but while we are out there in a dark world. And as those words of those songs says, you know, that God is a way maker, that we are a light in the darkness during this time. I just want to welcome you here. I know this is, as Brad has said, it's a little bit strange, a little bit different, but we're going to do our best to just kind of keep going as we're supposed to. I also want to let you know that today we're going to be finishing the series in the book of James. We'll be in James chapter 5 if you guys want to open your Bibles so long. But also next week we're going to start a new series called Who Is This Jesus? And we're going to kind of look at some of the stories that we see in the Gospels about who Jesus is and the life that he led leading all the way up to the cross. And Easter is something we're going to celebrate in just a couple of weeks. But we've been in the book of James for the past 4 weeks. And it's amazing because it is so fitting to where we are. I could not have planned us studying this book if I wanted to. And we talked about this, you know, chapter one of James talks about finding joy in trials. And I think we can all agree that right now we are experiencing trials, something that is not our fault, but we need to find joy, we need to find God in the midst of these difficult times. In chapter 2, it talks about finding mercy over judgment, that when we deal with people, we don't live in a world where we start with judgment. The Bible says we start with mercy. Chapter 3 is the hard one, taming the tongue. And that's not just what we say to each other, but maybe right now that applies to our social media accounts as well. I see people saying all kinds of careless and ungodly things on Facebook. And we need to be a light in the darkness. We need to be a hope in a time that people are struggling. Then last week, we talked about the difference between are we people that rely on pride or are we humble people? And not a pride in the sense of accomplishment that we're happy about something that we've done, but even more so, just the idea of where our trust lies. Is it all about us or is it ultimately about God? Now, the first part of chapter 5 has three different parts that we're going to talk about today. The first part in chapter 5 is a warning to people who are rich. Now, I know it's very easy for us to say, well, the people that live in mansions and have yachts and sports cars, those are the rich people. That's not what James is talking about. He's talking about what we rely on. It's an echoing of what chapter 4 talks about, the difference between are we people that trust in God or are we people that trust in ourselves? If you've gone to the grocery store this last week, if you've walked around Walmart or United or Sam's, you see people doing things that they probably shouldn't do. People are afraid that they're not going to have enough. And they're buying, they're stockpiling things. They're being greedy. They're taking it away from other people. Now, don't misunderstand me. I was a Boy Scout. I think being prepared is good. But I heard a statement recently that said, we need to be prepared, not scared. Buy enough for this moment and this time. Need I remind you that in the Old Testament, we see the Israelites that God leads out of slavery in Egypt. He leads them into the desert, and then they're afraid. They're afraid they're not going to have something to drink. They're afraid that they're not going to have anything to eat. And God simply says to them, I will provide enough for this day. And then April, you led us in the Lord's Prayer, a line in that prayer that says, give us today our daily bread. That is an echoing of the manna story in the desert, that we are to go out and get just enough for that day. Now, I think if you get enough for the week, that's okay. But if you're trying to stockpile and take away from others, we're kind of showing that we don't trust in God. Look, the reality is, the way that we exhibit our Christian nature is more by how we live in difficult moments than how we live in good moments. What is our speech? Is our speech about hope, or is it about criticism? Are we taking for ourselves, or are we sharing with others? Do we trust in God first, or do we trust in us first? Look, going to church is important, and giving is a great priority. It's something that we show where God is in our life and how He is first. And I want to encourage you to not stop doing that. It's amazing how quickly, when we get a little bit of distance from God, the first thing that we give up is God. The first thing that we say, I'm not going to prioritize, is God. I'm going to take for me. And James writes in the first part of this chapter to say, you need to know where your trust is. You need to keep your priorities where they should be, not in your stuff, but in the one, the maker of heaven and earth, the one who is ultimately our hope. We need to trust first and foremost in Him. Now, James goes on in chapter 5, the second portion. And the subtitle in my Bible, maybe it's the same in yours, it says Patience in Suffering. Like I said, I couldn't have made this up. I couldn't have picked a better day to preach this. But you're going to hear the language that James is going to share with his people. Not the language of a master to a slave, but the language of family. He's going to use the words brothers and sisters countless times. Verse 7 of chapter 5, the book of James, it says, be patient then. Now, if we just stop right there, that would be a good enough lesson. Being patient. Especially in moments of crisis, we struggle to be patient. But he says, be patient then, brothers and sisters, until the Lord's coming. A reminder that this world is temporary, that it is not permanent, that we are waiting to be swept away to be with the Lord. See how the farmer waits for the land to yield its valuable crop, patiently waiting for the autumn and the spring rains. You too, be patient. Stand firm, because the Lord's coming is near. For those of us that are homebound for a little while, hear verse 9. Do not grumble against each other, brothers and sisters, or you will be judged. The judge is standing at the door. He goes on in the rest of this little passage to say, it's always been the case that we are going to face struggles and suffering. It was never if, it was really only when. And the warning that James gives is some people are struggling when he writes this. Some people are about to. Some people are just coming through it. And he says, we need to be patient and stand firm in our faith and keep our priority with God during this time and not jump over to the dark side and become judgmental people. But then verse 13, the third part of James chapter 5. This is really what it's all about. This is what James has waited to say. For four chapters, he has set this up so that we can hear the words of James 5, beginning in verse 13. He says, if any one of you is in trouble, you should pray. Notice it doesn't say, if any one of you is in trouble, you should run to the grocery store and protect yourself, or you should run to the bank, or you should go and buy ammo. He says, if you're in trouble, you should talk to God. If you're happy, you should sing songs of praise. If you're sick or if you're deeply troubled, you should call the leaders of the church to pray over you in the name of the Lord. It says, and the prayer offered in faith will raise the sick person up, and if they've sinned, they will be forgiven. Now, I want to stop quickly because I love the way that this text reads. What it says is this: if you're in trouble, you should talk to God. If you're happy, you should talk to God in the form of praise. And if you're sick, if your body is worn down physically or spiritually or emotionally, you need to ask other people that you trust, to talk to God for you. Isn't that beautiful language? The solution is always that we should talk to God. And it says that the prayer of the righteous people, the prayer that's offered in faith, not because we are somehow perfect, but because we have faith behind what we're praying, it says those kinds of prayers are powerful for the person. And listen to what it says in verse 16. It says, confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you may be healed. Now, there's something very interesting about the James 5 text, is that it says that if you've sinned, you need to confess that to God. And we all know that confession is something that we do between him and us. And the Bible says in James 5 that if God hears our confession, he will forgive our sins. But the second part of that says you have to share your burdens with others for yourself to be healed. Forgiveness between us and God is one thing, but healing is something that we as the church give to each other. I find that there's a lot of people in our world today that are forgiven, that are in a good relationship with God, but they're not healed. They still carry the burden, even though they'll say things like, I know I've been forgiven of this, but why can't I let this go? Maybe it's because we've never applied what James 5 is talking about. That we start with God and we share with each other. And that's what brings healing in our lives. So this morning, what I want to do is I just want to take a moment to pray for us. Because I think that's what the calling of this text is about. I want to ask you to be prayerful. In your moments, when you feel anxiety, pray. If you feel happy and joyful, pray. Spend time talking to God every single day, every moment that you think about it, engage in this kind of behavior because James says it brings forgiveness and healing. And I think our world needs a lot of that right now. Maybe our families need a lot of that right now. So what I'm going to do is I just want to offer a prayer for you, for us, as we go through this, for us to not lose sight of who God is and what God is doing, to not miss those small teachable moments where we will see him, and just that God will bring us together as the church and make us who he's called us to be. So where you're sitting, if you would just close your eyes, bow your heads, and let me just offer this prayer in this moment today. Our Father, thank you so much that you have invited us to be your children. Thank you that you've offered us an opportunity to be in relationship with you. And God, we know that people are scared right now. We know that there's a lot of fear and anxiety. And God, we just pray that you would speak to our spirits today, that you would let us hear your voice and know that you're calling us to something far bigger and far greater. Father, I thank you for meeting us here, wherever we are, whether we're at home or in our cars or at our workplaces. God, we just pray that today, in this moment, that you would just remind us that we are yours, that you would calm our fears, that you would take away the mentality of the world that says we have to have and we have to trust ourselves. And help us to lay it down. Help us to find ways to help others. Help us to share our lives, not just our stuff. Father, as families are together, I just pray that you would bind us together, that you would give us special moments and special time so that we can see your face and honor you in all that you do. Thank you for meeting us today. Thank you for the opportunity we have to worship together. Would you please receive our hearts now? In Jesus' name.